This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Boss Level, a podcast where we feature conversations with guests who have leveled up, bringing an XP boost to the table. This week, you're here with me, Psyche, and the absolutely stellar Hey Shady Lady. Hey, Shady.
Hi, Psyche. How's it going?
It's not too bad. How have you been? I know you broke your arm recently. I don't think I've spoken to you since then.
Got a broken arm. A 5-year relationship ended. Internet's going out all summer. Thunderstorms every day. It's been 1 week since you looked at me. It's been a really crazy.
You know what? I really hoped you were going to do that, but I was like, I'm not going to do it.
I'm hanging in there, though. I feel like I'm going through like a phoenix burning down, and I'm going to poke my little ugly baby bird head out here really soon.
And then you may rise and there will be flame and it will be great. But you really are going through it recently. Well, on today's episode, we are joined by someone we both work with super closely behind the scenes. Libby, a.k.a. Askesian, an online community and digital media expert. Libby is the senior community manager at Players vs. Cancer, co-founder of Radiance Media, a marketing agency for brands seeking to enter the gaming space, and the leader and manager of Team Kitty, the longest running stream team for women and femme broadcasters. Libby, hi. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
It is a joy to be here. I am good. I am, you know, having a, not a, you know, a direct moment of going through it, but, you know, just the 2021 / the beginning of 2022 has kicked my ass, and it's kind of nice to be a baby bird poking out of it in a similar fashion, but it's awesome to be here. Super excited to be chatting with y'all. Not that I don't talk to you on a regular basis, but to be, you know, part of the Boss Level fam. On this side of the table.
Yeah. It's so cool to have you on this side of the table because now I get to ask you all of the pressing questions I've always wanted to.
Time to pick your brain, Libby. I'm excited.
I'll bring my notes.
I'll probably be taking notes. It's fine.
I know. Well, why don't we start with what we were kind of bantering about a second ago about your username. So Libby, a.k.a. Eskesian. And we were joking about how I've known you for, you know, a couple of years now since I've been on Team Kitty, and I've never heard your name pronounced out loud until today. So
yeah.
How did you come up with that name? Where is it from?
Yeah, so it's actually kind of interesting. I think it is quite funny that I bumbled my way into the streaming space with a gaming handle that is nigh unpronounceable if you don't hear me say Eskesian. But yeah, so we've decided for the purposes of the podcast, you can call me Libby at any point. And I answer to Libby, I answer to Hey You, I answer to What's Her Face. But yeah, Eskesian actually comes from my first grade teacher. Shout outs, Mrs. Baird. She had this thing where she would ask her class, have you been an Eskesian today? Spelled differently, A-S-K-E-S-I-A-N. I suddenly realized I may have forgotten how to spell. I-I-A-N instead of I-E-N-N-E. And that's too many letters. Anyway, not the way I spell it. And the way she explained it to our class actually was that it was this like society of thinkers and people who like wanted to learn and make the world better. And so she would ask us in class, like, how are you an Eskesian today? And, you know, all these different things. And it was sort of her like theming around good citizenship to teach her first graders. I later found out when I was an adult, and I totally understand this is like why she described it this way. It was actually like kind of a cult, like almost like a secret society. I don't even know. It was when I looked it up later, it obviously was a little bit more than just like a bunch of wholesome people looking to make the world better. But the whole idea was like, are you thinking about things? Are you researching? Are you bettering yourself or bettering the space around you? And that's in the context of her first grade class was like, make sure that you are an Eskesian today. And I don't know if just like my parents really liked the philosophy and brought it home, but it was not something that like stuck in first grade. And then when I was in middle school, of course, looking for my very first Blizzard BattleNet username to play Warcraft 3. I made it like girlier, prettier, and I made that like the I-E-N-N-E Eskesian as my username for stuff. And like, as you know, we do with usernames, once you use it in one place, you use it everywhere. And it just sort of stuck. I made it my Twitch username specifically because it was my BattleNet. And when I first kind of found online streaming and content creation, I was like a, you know, viewer and a fan of people. And it was like, oh, well, if I played with them, they would have seen Eskesian. Oh, yeah. So I should make my username in their chat Eskesian too. So then there's a connection with who it is. And so that was sort of how it became my username. I love it. And I have this like heart connection to it. And I don't want to change it, but I also understand that it is, like not at all.
I mean, this branded. Like spawns back to when you're like 5 or 6 years old. Like that's a pretty like deep rooted origin.
It's a
story.
Deep rooted thing. It's not, you know, cool gamer 42069 where I could just like change it and it's like, I don't know.
It doesn't really matter.
I love it. And it's actually kind of, I've kind of just learned to embrace it. Like literally my business cards when I go to like conventions or TwitchCon or stuff like that, say on the one side, Eskesian in really big letters, and then under it just says, don't worry, no one can pronounce it, just call me Libby. Like I've created that's a piece of it in chats or like with streamers that I know. I will just tell, like, I definitely told both of y'all, you can just call me Libby in your chat, that's fine. Or some people just say ask, right, because it starts with ask, which leads to some hilarious because people think it's ask CN, people think it's I got Ask a Scene once. Like there's a running list of like funny ones. But actually the one that I love that speaks to pronunciation is Skessy, just like cutting the middle out.
That one's cute.
Like, oh yeah, Skessy, that's so cute. And I was like, oh, I love that.
Like I really like that.
That one makes me think of oh my gosh, what's the Dark Crystal, the Skeksis.
Yeah. Totally. That's so funny.
That's
but
fun
yeah, that's
say.
the long-winded tale of Eskesian. And I think the reason I've just never adjusted off of it is I easily could have, right? A bunch of people have done, you know, rebrands or like, I remember when Psyche was Psyche Plays and you cut the piece off of it, right? You know, for me, it's just like, I actually do like where it comes from.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm willing to cut my weird quirky little unpronounceable brand off because I love it.
Well, I don't think you should, because it's also a word that I would never confuse for another word. So it's very, yes. once you're familiar with it, it's like in their brains. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's something that I really struggle with, because my name is just like, it's a word, and it's also like, it's got roots in Greek mythology, which is where I got the name from in the first place. I thought the story was really cool. But for SEO purposes, it's awful, because people look for Psyche. I think I'm like 10 pages on Google
searches.
They're
finding like the dictionary definition, the blog.
They probably have to search like Psyche Twitch instead.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, don't get me wrong, this is really cool, but I had a friend who I hadn't seen in literally 10 or 15 years who found both me and my partner because they remembered my like username that they knew me by, and were able to find me on Twitch. And they were like, oh, you're so much easier to find than your partner. So I'm glad that I actually find you. And I was like, well, that's cool, because that's a nice thing. But at the same time, sometimes I really regret having a name that is just a word. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I wish I'd come up with something that sounded really cool and interesting. And yeah, maybe it'd be hard to pronounce, but at least, you know, Google would understand.
Mine works all right if people put it in as "Hey, Shady Lady," all one word. But if people just search like "Shady Space Lady," it's like, I don't know, 100
sunglasses. How to
sunglasses.
Tell if your girlfriend is being shady.
Well, it's usually sunglasses shops owned by like 80-year-old women, you know. There's literally a shady lady
so
shop.
I love it.
In the big city that I live near, there's a shady lady store that I can walk under and stand under the sign and feel like fancy. But
I hope that you have done that and perhaps continue to do that.
I haven't, because it would totally dox me.
fair. Okay, if you ever move out of that town you leave, you must do a photo shoot in front of the store. And when they ask you why, be like, listen, it's
just give them my
Here's
business
what the
card.
Internet is. Yeah.
So like, I'm borrowing your branding, sorry.
Super weird thing just on that topic. I was browsing TikTok and we have a place in Northern Ireland called Newton Ards. It's spelled Newtown Ards, but it's pronounced Newton Ards. And there's this tiny family-owned, like, I don't even know what I think they sell furniture, but it's this like really small family-owned business there who now has like hundreds of thousands of followers on TikTok because one person, I don't know, is it stitching or duetting? I don't know which one's which. Either way, they did that with one of their videos, and it's this like really, really silly video of them trying to advertise their tiny little business, and it's really cringe and whatever. But people lapped it up, and they're now like this super like locally famous tiny little business that I'm like, oh, I want to go do my Christmas shopping there. I don't even know like what they sell, but
I love so weird TikTok, like small business brand TikTok, just like absolutely blowing up. There's like a furniture store in Australia that's in my For You page all the time. I don't know why. And I'm always like, oh, this is a great piece of furniture. I should. And every time it gets me, and it's until I get to their website where I'm like, damn it, this is the Australian one again. Like, I'm not ordering from Australia to the United States.
I can
just find
this.
Something here. Yeah, this is unattainable. But there is something so like adorable about like cringe local business TikTok.
Yep.
It warms my whole heart.
It can go the totally opposite direction, though. I don't know if y'all have seen the pink sauce lady that's been going viral lately. So don't sell ranch dressing unrefrigerated and ship it through the mail to people and with pink dye
with bottles that don't seal completely correctly.
Yeah, it's been so, I don't know, entertaining in all the ways. I'm sure she didn't want it to be entertaining when she started her small business, but...
Yeah, entertaining in the way that people watch like airline disaster breakdown videos.
I'm just like, oh,
like,
my
here's
God.
How to not run a business.
And
starting
hope.
With the phrase ranch dressing unrefrigerated is probably
like,
the start.
She had like a live that was like, why would I need FDA? It's not a medicine. And I'm just like,
oh no.
Yeah, girl, you know what the F and FDA stand
for? Oh, no.
Food?
I truly hope she figures it out, because like, apparently the recipe for the sauce is actually pretty legit and it tastes pretty great if you make it yourself at
it's
home.
It's like dragon
and don't.
Fruit
yeah, like at
mixed
home.
In. Yeah, yeah. But she won't That's get the recipe out. Smart girl in that regard.
Yeah. We'll see how that turns out. Libby, you've talked a little bit about streaming. So what is your favorite game? It can be on stream or off, because I feel like we've been talking about quite lighthearted topics, so I feel like that's a good one to go into.
Like pink sauce.
Lighthearted topic, like pink sauce.
Lighthearted
and
topics, like first grade teachers and pink sauce. So favorite Okay, so this actually has changed relatively recently. I mentioned like starting up my gaming accounts in like middle school to play Warcraft 3. I grew up playing the RTS games. I grew up playing World of Warcraft like from launch and up until probably a year, year and a half ago, I would say that's my favorite game. I have personally made the choice to put down Blizzard titles just because of all of the things that Blizzard are doing wrong by their employees right now. I look forward to picking those up when I see concrete evidence of those things being fixed. It was really, really hard. I don't know if either of y'all played about this. Like, I think maybe you did, but when you subscribe to the game from launch, when they hit the 15-year anniversary, they literally sent you like a statue of a character. Mm-hmm. Like it was just for the people who had uninterrupted subs. And like, I have one and it was so hard to click the unsubscribe of like, I can't do it. But I made the choice of like, no, I need to support ethical business practices. I need to walk the walk instead of just talking the talk. But I would have said up until that point, favorite game, favorite franchise, I have a steel, like real actual steel version of one of the swords from the Warcraft 3 game series. I have a Frostborn. But like since then, obviously I've had to branch out from my Blizzard junkieism. I like a lot of like building games, sim games. I play an absolute crap ton of Planet Zoo.
Fun.
Like expanding from the like, oh, I play the Sims, but all I do is build houses and decorate them. And then I, when I have Sims and houses, I like torture the shit out of them. Like
that's what I do in Minecraft though. And everyone's like, that's it. You're just going to stand here for 4 hours decorating. I'm like,
yeah, that sounds great. I see my Minecraft is, I don't even want to decorate. I am always the person, I'm like somebody's mole, like literally the mole. I will go into the hole and dig and get a full inventory it up to the surface for you. It's cathartic. It's like knitting to me. Like it's just this very repetitive, soft thing in Minecraft. And it's always great because when I play with friends, like, man, I don't have enough materials. And I'm like, here. And I just like throw all the shit down in front of them.
Mole like spy. And I was like, what kind of servers are you like on?
The literal, the literal animal that digs holes.
What are you getting up to?
But the, I would say my recent love actually is by accident, I bumbled into helping out a couple of friends, actually, well, my partner's friends, but a couple of folks who are doing Red Dead roleplay.
Yes. Like, oh my gosh.
5M for GTA. And that has always scared me a little bit. I actually just joined a 5M server that I haven't played yet. But Red M.
I just don't like the setting of GTA, but Red Dead.
That's. I'm obviously biased because I just said it's my current favorite thing, but Red M, which is the Red Dead version, I really like because I loved Red Dead Redemption 2, Red Dead Online, but Online, of course, is like plagued with trolls and bullshit behavior. And the like the fun of just like my, I keep calling it Yeehaw Cowboy Escapism. Yes. Of like, you, it's basically playing Red Dead Redemption 2, but as your own character, and then you get to like live whatever story. And I have found that it is just, it is both relaxing and also like fulfilling something for a game for me where, no, there's not like a quest or an objective that I need to go fulfill, but like I can spend a couple hours in a game and get a compelling story out of it and play with my friends. My character is, because I accidentally ended up volunteering to help with community management, I have admin powers. And in cowboy land, that means you're a state ranger.
Ooh.
And so I get to go be the law. And it's great because a lot of the law folks are like very sassy, like get a win kind of cops. And I'm like this, I'm literally just my community manager voice, but in a character where it's like, I understand that you don't feel heard right now. Can I help you? Can you go talk behind the bill? And it's like, there's this guy who's like, just try to play Red Dead and like be a yeehaw shooty shoot cowboy. And I, it's really fun. Like it is a new love that I was honestly really scared of. I thought RP games would be like too much for me. Like, oh, I don't know. Like, how do I manage a character? And, you know, am I going to be good at it or whatever?
Yeah,
it's really fun. I will send you the info. There's a lot of places you can do it. Obviously, I'm biased to Calico County right now because it's one that a bunch of friends are running. But it is honestly very fun. And sometimes I just log in and like if you've played Red Dead Redemption 2, you know how gorgeous the game is. Sometimes I will log in and ride my stupid little pixel horse around the map with no goal, no aim. I won't talk to anybody. I'm just vibing. And as much as I could very easily go outside and take a walk in nature, and I do, very different vibes. I do not currently live in the map of Red Dead Redemption 2. Right. So I cannot go experience some of that nature. It's just been really, really fun.
That's how I fell in love with Red Dead 1. That was my first favorite video game besides Harvest Moon. I was such a Harvest Moon person wow. growing up, and I never had another favorite game until I played Red Dead 1. I fell in love with the main character, the soundtrack, the scenery. I did not like having to like kill the animals, but mm-hmm. eventually you get over it. Eventually you get used to it, like, because you need the materials, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. It was, I've never sobbed that hard at a video game before. Red Dead 1. Red Dead 2, I haven't really? Played all the way through. I played it.
I haven't played the whole story either, yeah.
For the first, like, maybe 15 or 20 minutes. And then I think I either accidentally shot my horse or hit my horse. And I was like, because I was playing I was playing on mouse and keyboard and I couldn't figure it out and I needed a controller instead. And then I couldn't figure the buttons out. And it was something, my horse ran off into the snowy nighttime mountains. That's all I remember. So I don't know if it was a shoot or a hit, but, and I was like, okay, maybe another time when I've got a different setup for this. I want to play it really bad though, because I hear it's just phenomenal. And it's does good. A lot. There's very few like sequels to video games where it does the original justice. And this is one of those. So
yeah,
I think never played them, and I feel like I'm missing out big
you're
time.
You're such a space person, though.
I am. Yeah,
it's a departure from what you're used to, for sure. So what's funny is I have actually never played Red Dead 1. Oh. I played Red, and so it's on my list of, like, I need to figure out, I don't know if I have to, like, I'm assuming there's some way I can play it on a modern PC, maybe like an emulator or something. Anyway, but I've played Red Dead 2. I didn't finish the story and I jumped right into online because my experience with GTA was the same way. I liked the story well enough, but I liked being kind of in my own shoes in that universe. And so now I play Red Dead basically exclusively in RP. And I know I need to go finish the story, but it will probably make your heart happy, Shady, that my character owns the Marsden Ranch.
Yeah. Aww,
so that's where she lives. Aww. As like a government agent. Is what's not called the Marsden Ranch in Calico County because you can't use Red Dead lore in the space, but that is the house that I live in.
Yeah.
So. And now to interrupt the Red Dead Redemption chat, we've reached a save point, so let's go to a quick ad break.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're here chatting with Libby, aka Askesian, senior community manager at Players vs. Cancer, and all kinds of other fun stuff. We've been chatting about how Libby got into gaming, I guess, where her username came from, and now a little bit about Red Dead, one of the greatest video games of all time. And now I'm curious. I know you said that you started out watching Twitch. So I guess that you kind of like segued into this space by just being an avid video game fan and then consuming Twitch, and then you fell in love with it. How did you actually start doing a like career based in like Twitch online video game spaces?
Yeah, totally by accident, hilariously enough. I have found that many of my sort of random career moves have been something I've bumbled into and been very lucky. not that I don't work hard, but just like that a door opens that you didn't even know was there in front of you. So I was actually originally in school. I grew up doing competitive robotics. So I went to school for mechanical engineering to start and got partway through an internship during my undergrad and was like, I like this, but I like more when I was doing a lot of like design work. I actually was a test intern on that cool Coke machine, the Freestyle.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it was like my job as an intern was like building rigs to like test it, break it, whatever. But I found that what I liked a lot more was when the client, Coca-Cola, would come and be like, okay, what are these design changes and how do they make a difference for our users, our audience? How are we going to take this really cool technical component that you guys have designed and worked on, and how are we going to turn it into like marketing content that we're going to make people want to use this? And so I went to my college advisor and I was like, you know, my internship bored me to tears because I didn't want to sit in front of computer modeling all day. I have so much respect for people who do, but it just was not aligning with what I thought I was getting into. And I described, he's like, well, what did you like? And I gave him that whole spiel and he kind of says, that sounds like technical communications. That sounds like either technical writing or like being on, you know, sort of a marketing team for a technology product. And I finished out my undergrad with a communications degree and an engineering minor instead. And then I went into a master's program for that is literally called Marketing for Technological Innovation. So it was all around like the cross section of technology and like marketing, media, whatever. And my time entering Twitch and like watching Twitch and working with creators was actually in grad school. I was doing a lot of freelancing, right? Because in grad school, you often have bills to pay. So I was doing like copywriting, video editing, stuff like that. And I was watching a lot of games on Twitch and playing a lot of games. And I started offering up my services in like editing and marketing help to streamers that I was watching. And I know that you guys can kind of see the punchline coming, but one of the folks that I reached out to was this woman named Kitty Plays that I loved watching and I really looked up to her. And it wasn't even that she had a call out for editing. She just was, I think she was doing Vlogmas, right? Where you vlog for all of December leading up to Christmas. And in one of her vlogs, I was just watching them. She like is talking about her work and her workflow. And then she like flops on the couch and is like, I need an editor. And I went,
bingo.
Worst thing. I remember being like, well, she didn't technically ask. I shouldn't email. This is really weird. Which like my career advice, don't do what I did. Unless you're really confident, because she did not make a call out looking for an editor, right? She didn't say, send me your resume. And I just shot my shot in her business email and I said, hey, like, I'm a community member and I was active in her chat. She, like, we knew who each other, or she knew who I was, right? And I said, I'm actually, I'm a, you know, video editor. This is my background. Do you actually want one, or was that just a one-off comment? And I figured worst thing she can say is no.
That's such a good mindset to have though.
Worst is that she just doesn't respond to my email. Like, okay, like, great. Then I spent 5 minutes and it was practice. So all at the same time, I was sort of entering the space where I was using my skills to help other creators. And with those creators, you know, some friends and stuff, they would say something like, well, you should stream. Like, you're socially adept and, like, we have fun when we're playing games together. You've been on my stream a bunch of times. Like, why don't you start? And I didn't really know how. All I had was, like, my MacBook Pro at the time, which was great. I did actually stream from MacBook Pro for the first, like, 6 months that I streamed.
That's, like, challenging in and of itself.
Yeah.
it was a very started from the bottom, now we hear moment. But the thing that drove me, because I was very much in a space of, like, well, I don't want to, like, be famous, right? I don't want to have a channel that is about, like, it made me feel very icky and uncomfy at the start to be like, well, I don't want to be, like, the brand or, like, the reason somebody's tuning in. Obviously, that's sort of a narrow view of what that is, because this was 2014 and I just discovered the space. But I saw that you could stream for charity. I don't remember if it was the first or the second year of the program called St. Jude Play Live. And at that point it was in July. At that point in the program, it was in over the summer. It wasn't in, like, April, May. And I was like, well, I'm already spending all my time playing video games and I do have, like, friends who do this. Why don't I do this? And, like, even if I make $5 for a charity, then me going live with my gameplay rather than keeping it to myself would have been worth it. And I forced my entire World of Warcraft raid to open my stream. that's what I would stream. Is I was a raid lead for World of Warcraft. This was before, like, fight guides were a really common thing. Like, obviously they existed, but, like, you had to know where to look. I had, like, a notebook on my desk where I would, like, draw the fight and, like, map it out for everybody. This was pre-Discord. We were using Ventrilo. Like, this is old school, right? And I would be, like, texting my raiders, like, pictures of my little notebook. Like, it's really silly, but I took it very seriously. I love the challenge of, like, seeing a fight for the first time and be like, oh, that's what that mechanic does. Like, okay. Like, yeah, it's definitely different now where you could just go watch a YouTube video and, like, how the fight works and then be like, hey, everyone has to watch this video before we play. But I loved that. And so I would stream, they were such bad streams, I would stream my raid and then, like, me talking through the fight explanations. And because I had made my whole 10-man team open my stream, like, I wasn't sitting at zero in the directory. So people were coming in and, like, oh, this person has, like, 10 viewers. Wow. I had no idea what I was doing. Horrible. Couldn't read my chat half the time unless I had it open on, like, my iPad, because I only had a MacBook without an external monitor. I streamed for the month of, at the time, like I said, it was July. It was either July or August. I streamed for that time and raised $500. I, like, told my friends and family. I, like, had my mom pull out the page, like, show it to her friends. And I was like, oh, I can actually do something quasi useful with this gaming time that I'm already spending. Like, if I'm already going to be on my computer, I might as well do something with it. And I kind of got the bug and I didn't take it super seriously until about a year later. And then I, like, had a schedule and, like, built a PC and, like, decided that streaming was something I wanted to do. But it was definitely, I started as a consumer of content and then moved into, like, oh, that might be fun. And what really drove me at that point was the idea that it wasn't necessarily about me, that I could use it to do something for somebody else.
I think that's so smart, though. The fact that you had, like, your raid team watching your stream. I feel like a lot of streamers, when they get started, they're like, oh, I don't, like, I only have, you know, one viewer, or I don't have anybody watching my stream. Like, get your friends to open up your stream, especially if you're streaming raid content. Like, get your raid team to even just have the tab open. That's really smart.
That's basically what I did, was like, I did that. And then I had a couple of friends, like, I, at the time, you know, this was like 2014, right? Everyone was like active on Facebook. It wasn't just for, you know, boomers. It was like my college friends were all on Facebook. And so I was like posting on Facebook. I was like, hey, I'm going to play this game, or like, there's this charity thing. I'm going to play, you know, this weird thing. And I would have people pop by. And like, I think there's a lot of, I think initially when some people start streaming, they're like, oh, I don't want my real life friends to find this. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that'd be so scary. But like, in the same vein, that can be a really nice, like, springboard. The competitive robotics stuff I did in high school, I still coach my old high school team. I love my kids. They can't come to my stream. They're not allowed. But I have been involved in the community for obviously a really long time. So I would do that. And like, a couple of robotics people from other teams, like my friends that were on other teams in high school or mentored here or there, would come in and be like, hey, you know, shout out from team 1334 or whatever. And it was a connection point. So I already had sort of a community, or not a community that belonged to me, that a community that I was in, where I had close relationships with people. And so being able to kind of pass the stream link to them was like, you're not starting from zero, because I completely understand that firing up a stream for your first like month and having maybe one person is like, I don't know if I would have stuck with it. Honestly, it's demoralizing. Yeah. Like, if I had been in that situation, I know myself well enough to be like, I probably would have quit. Like, no, that's not an answer I'm proud of, but like, I know myself well enough to be like, yeah, I'm really glad I like made my whole raid team open the stream, because it gave me this idea of like, oh, people are actually care about this. But yeah, that's sort of my step into content creation. And I've done different things across, you know, from then to now. I've, hilariously enough, whether I've kept it consistently or not is not the point I'm trying to get to, because I don't. But I have actually never changed my weekly schedule. It has always been Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know why. It was what worked with my like work schedule at the time, at that point in my life. And now I'm like, oh, well, I stream on Tuesday, Thursdays, and Sundays, so I can't do anything on those nights. And that's like weirdly stuck for all what, like almost... Actually, exactly 8 years. Oh.
Yeah, I don't like thinking about that. It's weird, right?
I don't like the number, but yeah, July of 14 would make it 8 years now. Ugh.
That's
gross.
Crazy. I have to ask a question about the fact that you've been on like both sides of streaming, from like a community management and like all of your work on Team Kitty and all of that stuff. Something I think a lot of streamers, and certainly me, I've thought about this. I don't know about Shady, but I'm sure it's a question that a lot of streamers have. They often consider seeking out extra help, like an editor or a community manager, or even like working with a management company. In your experience, do you have any thoughts on like when is the right time, or how people will know it's the right time to start seeking out extra help like that from someone?
Ooh, I think I have a couple of perspectives on that. My biggest one, and like, it's hard to not make a like in this economy joke, but like, is when you can afford it, right? I have definitely, or when you, I don't like, even to say when you can afford it feels too cut and dry, right? When you feel comfortable putting out the resources to have that support, right? So if you know an editor is going to cost you X dollars per video, either is your channel revenue covering that for you, or do you feel comfortable making that expense, right? Like cutting out the Starbucks to cover that for yourself. So even to say, can you afford it? Are you willing to make that shift? In terms of like management directly, I think that's really hard too, because you really have to take a critical look at what that management company is doing for you and what they're taking from you. Right, is it a system that you're paying in a certain amount per month and they're guaranteeing you, you know, such and such spots, or you know, this number of activations? Or is it something that will kind of say, oh, well, whatever we get you, if we get you anything, it'll be 10% of that revenue? I think it's super variant. I have had various stages of editing for myself versus taking on an editor to do videos and like highlights and recaps for me. And I recognize within myself that I don't have the patience to go back to video editing. And if I want to be serious about consistent consistency in my content, I have to be willing to pay somebody to edit stuff for me. Just because I, even though I did it as a freelance job, I putting myself back in that, like sit in the chair, edit the video is mind numbing to me and I never get it done.
I tweeted something the other day that was like, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like, I have to spend way too much time with myself as a content creator or something.
And yeah,
like,
oh my
sitting
God.
There for 3 or 4 hours perfectly on a stream said. And then immediately having to spend like usually 4 to 6 hours editing that down is like the whole day. Yeah. It's too much time with myself. God,
I get you.
There's a piece to that too, where like sometimes somebody else can capture you better than you critiquing your own work. Like I hesitated for a long, this is when I was, at one point I was like 3 days a week, absolutely uncompromising. I wasn't working full time in industry. I was still kind of like stopgapping freelancing. But I was doing full time amounts of content creation and I would try to make these highlight videos and they were like, okay, but they weren't great. And then I had a friend, actually his name's Kip Asope. He's now like a full time editor for like very large YouTubers. I was like, hey, I noticed that you freelanced. Can you teach me how you set up your freelance business? And I was like, sure, no problem. And I gave him some advice and he says, oh, can I like try this process out on editing your videos? Like I would do this for you at this crazy discount because you're trying to help me get set up. And I was like, absolutely. His videos are the funny. I think they're funny and I never think I'm funny.
Aww,
like I look at my own stream and I'm like, ew, she's cringe. Like I hate her. But I watch his videos and I'm laughing at something that I personally experienced because I did it. So it's like, sometimes you need the outside perspective too. Like if you're staring at yourself all day, it's like when you say the same word over and over and then it doesn't feel like it's a word anymore.
Yeah.
But for yourself,
yeah.
Like suddenly you're not real anymore because you know, you didn't like, you've been staring at the same stream. You performed the stream and you're looking at it now.
Maybe you say some kind of joke you've been telling since you were in third grade and you just don't even think it's that funny anymore. But but the editor's like, oh my God, this is like, that's so Libby.
Yeah. I think with either, whether it's like some form of like assistive something, right? I think it's really a look at where in my process am I getting gummed up that I either am dreading this task or like I can't do it or I could be making better use of my time, and then like balancing whether that's affordable. I think when someone is full time, it can feel very scary to lend your income over to somebody else where like, yeah, well, if I wasn't spending all that money on an editor, I could save it for me. And it's like, yes, but would that content that you're self-creating be of the same quality and get the same response that this professionally edited? Like, I don't know why I keep falling back on editor as an example. Like the same could be true of like, are you pitching yourself for brand deals versus having somebody else pitch you? Whatever the assistive role that someone's looking for is really just like, it's the time investment balance, right? Is my time best spent doing this for myself, or am I willing to part with some component of my income to, have this done for me? And sometimes it's the right fit and sometimes it's not. And like, I've had phases where I worked with Kip for a very long time and then I was like, hey, I'm not really streaming right now, I'm working a lot, so I don't need you to edit stuff for me because I'm not streaming as often. And then by the time we got back around and I needed an editor again, he was too big time for me and he's too expensive for me. And I was like, I love you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy that you've done this. And he's like, yeah, I literally don't have time on my schedule. And I was like, good. That means you are succeeding and I'm so happy and so proud of you. And he's like a wonderful friend, but like there's also times where I'm just like, all right, I can do this myself. And I say that knowing full well that there is a YouTube video that I've been working on that I filmed almost a year ago that I still haven't edited and that I know is going to be really important because it is based around my charity streaming book. Yeah. Which I have a free book and like I have a video that is breaking all that information down and I know that would be good to post and valuable for people. Cannot get my ass in a chair to edit it life of me, like to the point where I want to reshoot it now because it's out of date, right?
And
you just sit in that paralysis and it's like, okay, yeah, I probably should have hired someone to do that. That's when it happened.
The reason why, like last night when my internet went out from the storms, it was just so easy for me to be like, yeah, I'll just go to bed. Because I was editing a video of myself that I'm so sick of staring at.
Yep. Gummers are such like, And I mean this in a very positive way, like such productions too, right? Like yeah. there's so much effort
intricate
that goes into the stuff that
technical
you do.
Breakdowns. Yeah. And I'm just like, I don't know. It takes so much research for me because they're like tech tutorials. And I, for me, it's, and this sounds similar to you too, Libby. It's a lot of the stuff that I do is intuitive. I can't explain how I know it. I just understand it. And that sounds sort of like mm-hmm. when you're, I think you, it was in college and you got pushed more towards communication and marketing, you intuitively understand, let me invite my raid friends to watch my stream, where some people need to have their hand held and told why and have that broken down in a very technical way. And then when I have to sit down and break down stuff that I just kind of naturally get and put it into technical explanations, I don't know how to do that. So it takes so much yeah. research for me to understand
yeah.
how does someone need this explained, you know?
You do the same with elite tutorials, Psyche, right?
I do. And it's funny because I relate to exactly what you're saying. I think I'm really, really bad at explaining things. So I, of course, naturally decided I was going to make guide videos, which makes
no sense. A classically, you know, not full of explanation.
You want to talk technical explanations?
I know. I'll explain stuff. The worst part is like, because it's something that doesn't come naturally to me, like you were talking about, Shady, how long it takes to actually sit with that video, having to listen to the voiceover. Because I don't know if this is the right way around to do it, but I always record my voiceovers before I put the footage to them. And then I kind of try to get the footage
the right
to link
spots.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like that means Elite. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. Elite Dangerous, for anyone who's listening and isn't familiar, it is a space sim. It does not hold your hand at all. So there's plenty of room for me to make guides. But it also is infamously like everything takes a long time. So if I want to showcase like 15 different ships and what their roles are, I have to get into the ship. I have to come out of the hangar. I have to undock from the fleet carrier or the station or whatever and fly around a bit and record some footage of the ship. And then I have to dock up, go back into the hangar. And it takes so long to switch between ships that for like a 10, I released
a
10
day.
Or 15. Yeah, it's like a 10 or 15 minute video. And it took me like 8 hours to record and stitch together all of the bits. And I'm like, for a 15 minute video, that feels pretty intense.
It does.
And people don't realize that.
You know, it doesn't feel intense.
What?
This ad break we're about to go on.
Hell yeah.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com. Where America goes to hire.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome back, everybody. So we're chatting with Libby. And something I really like about your journey, Libby, is that you don't sound like you're afraid of failure. Specifically thinking how you reached out to Kitty Plays when you noticed, again, like an intuitive, you have a very good intuitive sense. And then you will take risks, whether it's going to succeed or fail or not. And you said something like, well, I'll learn from this. I think with your, you know, this is a good learning experience. I either get it or I don't. And I learned something. So have there been any big failures that you think are like pivotal to how you've turned out the way that you are? And they taught you so much and they've shaped how you approach everything now that you'd like to share?
Okay. Yeah. I think I consider my like early university days, like I used to be like, oh, that's a failure because I didn't finish the thing I said I was going to do. And over time, I've sort of like adapted myself like, hey, that's not a great way to think of changing your mind. But yeah, I think no one's career is without mistakes. I have done dumb stuff as a creator. I have, you know, not been, you know, consistent with work or whatever. I actually will call myself out for something from Team Kitty. I started working with Kristen, like the short version of the escalation from video editor to business partner is, I would, you know, first it was video editing. Then it was, will you help me manage my email inbox? Cause you're super organized. I said, absolutely. I love inbox zero. And then it was, I would kind of like something would come into her inbox and it was a brand deal and I'd like have an opinion on it. She's like, wait a second, you have a business degree, right? And I was like, I have two actually. She goes, why are you just editing my videos? Like, why don't we actually turn this into like, you're helping with this stuff. And at someone who's, you know, 22 is like, oh shit. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Like I'll take on this like job that feels really big and scary. And morphed also into Team Kitty because Team Kitty originally started when the Teams feature started. This is, you know, Kristen kind of retelling me this was like, oh, I'm just gonna put my friends on like a team, right? I'm just gonna put a bunch of girls on a team. It'll be great. And we'll help each other. And then she and I had a lot of conversations around, okay, well, what if this became instead sort of like a mentorship group, something that is like, okay, we've got Kitty at the top and we're getting these brand deals pitched. And then it's like, okay, well, what about my girls, right? What if this became something that was truly mentorship based? And a lot of that had grown with word of mouth, one streamer to another. Hey, I'm joining this team. I'm applying to this team. This is this thing. And what happened, oh God, this is several years ago at this point, is I got a question from a woman. I think I was on Discord or Twitter, I don't remember. And this is one that it taught me to take a really critical look at my surroundings was, hey, am I allowed to apply? I noticed there aren't any women of color on Team Kitty. Mm. And wow. I remember I was sitting in my car and I was like, I fucked up. Right. Like, and it was one of those, obviously that's like a constant discourse in like Twitch teams, especially. I feel like my Twitter feed recently has been the same thing. It is not a problem that you can learn to fix in a day. Mm. But it gave me a good shakeup of like, we are not being as open with whether it's, you want to call it recruitment or whatever, like our practices as a team. The fact that someone can look at the team and be like, I don't belong there, is like, oh, well, that's not what this is for. And it basically caused us to kind of shake stuff up and say, we need to stop just looking outside of our own circles. So instead of going to the existing people on the team and saying, tell your friends, it's like, all right, I need to make a more conscious effort of finding women in other spaces. And without being salesy or gross, I mean, like, join my team. Like, the, you know, looking inside of your own circle is only going to give you people that look like your existing circle.
Right.
And it was something that I, at the time, like, totally considered myself like an inclusive person. And I, like, my first answer to her was like, oh my God, like, of course you can and should apply. She's a member of the team. And I will give her credit for this, for calling me the frick out on it. I'm going to try not to swear. Miss Ashrox. Miss Ashrox.
We love her.
Literally, yeah. Ash was like, I knew Ash well at that point. And she reached out to me and was like, am I allowed? And I was like, okay, I have done something very wrong here. Right. Like, and not that, you know, anything was intentional, but like, even, you know, omission by mistake is,
yeah,
a mistake is a failure. And a bunch of things on the team at the same time kind of led us to create a count. Oh, this is actually a really good one, and I'll be short about it. I tend to do a lot of things myself, and I tend to not delegate.
Mood.
So all of those things, yeah, all of those things happening at the same time is why the team has a council that is by volunteer, which actually we can talk about Team Kitty stuff when we're not recording, but we basically, Chris and I looked at the team and it was like, okay, well, originally I was running the team because I was a grad student with not a lot to do other than go to class and do Twitch stuff. Now I'm, you know, beyond that, and I'm doing a lot. What do I need to, what do we need to do to make sure that the team goes from Kristen can't handle this team thing that she really wants to do because she's too busy, to now the person who is in that role is also ending up with lots of stuff on their plate? You know, what can we do? So we expanded the team into a council. We made a really concerted effort to sort of reach outside of the bubble. But like, sometimes you just need that, like, I hate using a violent metaphor, but like that slap in the face of like, yo, you did not do this right. And a bunch of things on the team kind of happened at once in that moment of like, hey, Libby, like, you're doing too much. You can't handle it. We need to make this expansion. We need to make these changes. Like, it needs to be done. And you're not the only person who has to do it or should have to do it. And so I liked taking that and kind of expanding how we ran the team and how, like, the philosophies of running the team. Did not enjoy being called out. It did not feel good in the moment, but sometimes you need that. And I think there's a huge difference between, like, obviously if I had done something intentional in that way, then it would have been like, hey, you shouldn't be doing this anymore. Right. Well, we had this like very open conversation as a team, and it was, you know, where the team was at that point and how we could improve. And I think there's always ways to improve in the stuff that you do, whether it's, and I'm like, I can list off a million Team Kitty things for myself right now. But whether it's with a community that I've managed for work or stuff that I do kind of as a volunteer in the space, either way, it's like, you have to be open to that uncomfortable moment where someone shows you that you did not do something right. And I think the measure of, are you gonna get it right, is how you respond to it. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people will take that criticism and get really defensive and like shitty with people and be like, I wasn't doing that wrong. Or like,
yeah.
And my biggest thing is like, even if I'm super mega uncomfortable with the critique, to be able to handle it gracefully and like make a plan for what's next.
Yeah, it's a really tough skill to have, though. I mean, it's something I think has been a work in progress for me, is being able, because I think it's really, really healthy when someone comes to you and tells you something that you maybe wouldn't have heard from someone else and you haven't heard today. And then you hear this different perspective, and it can be super, super uncomfortable. And I think a lot of people, like you say, their first reaction is to be defensive or to shut down or whatever. Whereas really, no matter how uncomfortable and icky it makes you feel, you should be like, ooh, don't believe that happened. Okay, thank you for telling me that and for giving me essentially a gift, because you now know that there's something that you can work on that can improve things. And that's really cool. It's just really hard.
It takes a lot of emotional maturity to be able, because there's an ego problem going on. People's egos will flare up.
I did something wrong? No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, we see people talking about like streamer Twitter all the time, and I'm not going to give any specific examples, but you frequently see things where like someone will get called out for something that they said, and the reaction is to immediately double down on what they said mm-hmm. before, rather than just accepting that, you know, I didn't mean X, Y, or Z, but I've clearly given that impression to a lot of people. So I have to work on wording things differently in the future, or I have to work on the way I represent my opinion, or whatever it is. Instead of just accepting that and going, right, okay, how can I work on myself and improve things for next time so this doesn't happen again?
And that's super
immediately going, oh.
It's super important in these spaces because the job title a lot of times is influencer. And so yeah. we need to make sure that we're being responsible with ourselves and we're having a good impact on the future because we're helping kind of shape. This is why it drives me so crazy when I see people that are just obvious garbage that have these huge audiences and they don't care about the repercussions of their words or actions. They're not willing to sit and listen, especially when it comes to diversity issues and minorities in these spaces. That's why it frustrates me so, so much. Because they shape our next generation of gamers. And then that's why yeah. when I get on, you know, FPS games, I'm still getting called slurs and stuff because their favorite streamers still do yeah. that and they defend it.
There was a clip recently on Twitter and I don't remember who posted it, but it was basically a clip of like a probably too young to be on Twitch.
Oh, I know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah. Where it was like, I think it looks like a 12-year-old boy. Like, I'm not
a child,
trying to be...
Literally
maybe,
a child.
Maybe it's like a 15-year-old boy, wow. which would be fine. But, like, and the caption of the tweet is, like, hey, for everyone who says, like, toxic streamers aren't doing any harm, check out this kid. And the kid's stream is, like, playing an FPS game, calling people slurs, and then pulling up women's streams.
Restreaming.
And being like, oh, my God. I'm going to make fun of this woman because it's content. Like, the child says that and it's
and
emulating.
Then his profiles are just linking to all of these very like widely called out toxic streamers yes. that are like the very toxic
it's like,
masculine
oh, look who
energy
he follows on his page
of course,
like, and
of course he's behaving like this yeah that set me off yeah, I had to turn off Twitter. I was like, I can't look at this today. I've got work to do. I can't get distracted.
I feel like there's stuff every day that I'm like, that's enough Twitter for today yeah, and it's like honestly, 15 yeah. in the morning like,
honestly since I started using Twitter less, I have been a more productive and happier person since I yeah. stopped. And it really has a lot to do with clicks, period. I think it would happen no matter what like subsection of Twitter I was active on. Of course, it's streamer Twitter we call, but there's a blank Twitter for everything, you know, like stay at home mom Twitter. There's a whole
robotics Twitter is the same way.
Twitter.
I grew up learning to navigate. So what's weird about this robotics competition thing is it's actually the league is something that my family started.
Whoa.
So I was a competitor in high school.
Oh my gosh.
But like for lack of he's the founder of the nonprofit, but like in an esports term would be like the league commissioner, right? And it's my uncle. And so I was a participant in high school and it was assumed that anything that I said was like official at like 15. And I always say that's like sort of accidentally my first community management experience because I was learning on the fly as a teenager to like adapt my messaging to an audience because they would perceive me as official.
Wow.
Like, and I would be on the forum and I would say something. This was, you know, pre-Discord. We had like a V-Bulletin forum. Right? like, I would sit there and say something and I was like, oh, well, Libby said it, so it must be true. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, it was weird. It's how I got into like moderating and messaging, but was like, robotics Twitter is the same thing. I have read some toxic ass mm-hmm, stuff about mm-hmm. myself on robot yeah. Twitter.
Oh my gosh.
I'm the worst. Did you guys know that? I'm the absolute worst.
it's all you. Everything
welcome
is just
to
me.
Twitter.
Everything is welcome to Twitter where everything is your fault. No matter
yeah.
who you are, it's always your fault.
I love that. It's just so wild. I actually just uninstalled the Twitter app from my phone. I'm still using it on my PC, but I've decided that I just have a really bad habit of getting like super hyper focused on Twitter. And then like scrolling through and
it's
reading
so
stuff
easy.
That is not. It is.
To doom
and it brings
scroll.
Me no
yeah.
joy.
It doesn't. It typically just makes me feel helpless and angry. 9 times yeah. out of 10. Even if I start out looking at fun stuff, it will rabbit hole its way into like, you know, with the trending tag on the side and Twitter showing me all of the like top news yeah. stories. And I'm like, ugh, there's a reason I'm not watching cable news right now. Like, please don't feed me this. Like,
yeah.
yeah. Fair. Absolutely.
Well, I would like to ask something maybe a little bit more positive than the toxicity of Twitter. We all know it's just an absolute hellscape.
Sweet. Let's go.
I was genuinely going to ask, since we've kind of talked about like the challenges that you faced and all of that stuff, like the kind of journey that you've gone through, what are some of the actual like highlights of your career? Like what are some of the favorite things that you've had happen or that you've achieved?
Yeah, I like this question a lot better. I like that this comes after. Wow, it's almost like this outline was well-designed.
Wow.
Anyway, wowee. Okay, so highlights are really interesting because in all of the things we've talked about, we've touched on very little of my actual day job that I do, which is community management. Like we've talked so much about streaming and streaming spaces. But I would say my highlights are I've worked at a couple pretty cool places. I worked at Still Series. I worked at Kongregate, which is the game that at least for, you know, the 30-year-olds is like where we played games in middle school before our teachers wouldn't see. I get to work with a community and they had acquired a mobile game that was independently developed. It was like two guys that were just, it was a browser and a mobile battle royale. Not my speed, but I got hired on to community manage. And it was like, hey, just so you know, this community is really spicy because it's like middle and high school boys, which is already a red flag. and they're really mad that we acquired this game because they think we're trying to kill it. And my highlight for that, honestly, is I went through some yucky stuff with that community. I'm very, very grateful that I had Kristen Kitty as a mentor in my early streaming days about online safety, because that community tested the limits of what is appropriate in, you know, trying to find somebody. Is it a difference between commenting on their Instagram and calling a pizza place in their town and ordering pizza, right? Like that level of icky. But when I left that role, that community had totally changed tone. And it is not just me. It was our developers being super transparent. It was sort of the company giving me support in how to manage that community. But it became this, yes, there were still pockets of people who would like, I'm not even kidding. There was a guy who made, I think like 4 or 5 hours worth of a documentary about me. Like it literally was titled like,
what?
This community manager is ruining our game.
Like, oh, Jesus.
It was wild. It was really bad. But like, so that still existed. But the like actual official community spaces where our players were, you know, I put on my best, you know, teacher cap and community manager cap and kind of tried to figure out how we could best adapt that community to be a productive place where players felt like they actually had space to give feedback on the game. It wasn't just that they were shouting into the void, because I realized part of their anger was just that they didn't think that their ideas were going anywhere. It used to, the original developers would sit in that Discord all day and just talk to them and be like, oh, you want this kind of gun in the game? Oh yeah, no problem. Here it is. Right. And obviously that's just not how large studios work. Yeah. But being able to give them, you know, some form of agency, some form of voice there was really like big for me. I love it. On if we're going on paper highlights, so all of the work that Chris and I had done with Team Kitty early on was, like I said, when in the height of the Kitty Plays era, right, where she was streaming basically every day, you know, brand deals all over the place, hosting this, you know, championing that. One of the kind of big things with Team Kitty was, how can we take something that's offered to one creator and make sure that it influences or supports other creators? And there's a lot, I think, that has changed about the team and things I would like to bring back about that kind of era of Team Kitty. But one of the things that Kristen and I were realizing that we were doing for a very long time was, a company would come in and say, oh, we want to work with Kitty Plays, and you know, here's our idea for a brand deal. You're going to have the logo of your stream. And it was just like boring, standard, same stuff. And 99% of the time we'd turn around and say like, yeah, we could do that, but what if you, and we would like start adding things to these packages. Like what if instead of just a logo on the stream, like one of the ones I remember was a hair color company was like, oh, we just want you to like, you know, have this hair color on stream and talk about it. And it was like, what if instead we bring a wig in and we're doing a cosplay creation stream and we're using the product to do, you know, this.
Yeah.
And we realized we were doing that for free. Like, right. Not for free, obviously, because, like, you know, the team members or Kristen or whoever was going to get paid for those activations, but like the consult of that change was for free. And so we founded Radiance Media together specifically not to represent individual creators, because that's something we've always tried to avoid with Team Kitty. Someone who Kristen originally had hired to manage Team Kitty was like basically trying to turn it into an agency of like, we'll get you brand deals and we're going to take 10%. And I know I don't have the energy to do that, nor do I particularly want to, but what we really focused on was, you know, the brand that has a meeting someplace that says we should work with gaming, and they go, yeah, cool, but we don't know how to do that. Hello, we're your friends and we will teach you how to navigate this space. And so that's when we started Radiance, and we did a bunch of projects in that regard. And through whatever combination of that work and releasing my charity book, which is also a huge highlight, but I don't want to ramble about it for too long. I got this random email that I thought was fake from Business Insider last year that literally was, we'd like to include you in our article in top 20 women in gaming.
Aw, so cool.
And I was like, what? Excuse, like, did you mean to send this to Kristen? Like, what? And it was really cool. Like, I talked to them. I had my picture in it. I was actually they promote, you know, you can like promote an article and it becomes a trending topic on Twitter. Yeah. As we were just talking about how much we hate Twitter, like they didn't tell anybody in the article that they were going to do that. And then all of a sudden my face was the trending topic photo.
That ruled.
It
was
weird. but it's actually cool. Cause the reason it's a highlight is like, yeah, obviously the recognition is awesome, but as someone who is very frequently the background worker to someone else's accolade, not that what we do is by any means, you know, one sided, but like the number of times at conventions, people ask me if I'm Kristen's assistant and she has to be like, no, this is my business partner.
Yeah.
Like I am not super, super public with everything that I do, and to be recognized for that work and have it seen as just as valued as, like, you know, at the whatever snapshot in time, number one streamer on the platform, you know, it's really redeeming to know that the background work, you know, it matters in your own head, but like that somebody else sees that it matters was like, oh, I am doing something cool. Like, okay. Like it was great. And I'm super, super grateful for that. I'm not a person who needs a ton of validation. You know, the occasional, hey, that's so awesome, thank you so much, really like does it for me. And I'm good for like a year on external validation, but that's not true.
Wow, what's that like?
I still like it. Yeah, I was gonna say I still like it. Hold on. This is not a free pass for people to not ask and tell me I'm doing a great job. I welcome that feedback all the time. But like it was really cool to see the other side of the work that isn't just is a bad term, that isn't solely the influencer side of things. Was really cool. And my final highlight, which I'm sure we'll talk about, because I know you said you wanted to talk about it at some point, but was self-publishing a whole ass book on charity streaming. I know that I know something, but then when I try to go explain it, like we talked about, like you sort of either gum yourself up on how you explain it, or you feel like, oh, maybe I'm not as qualified to do this. And I saw this, you know, I've always wanted to put together a resource. I know there has been a point in streamer Twitter when making resources available to other streamers has been a contentious topic. So I knew I wanted it to be free. And I wanted to put my background knowledge. I have two things that I had outlined, one that was around charity streaming and one that was around kind of community building and community management as it applies to creators, which I haven't finished yet. But you know, one book a year seems like a fair rate. and around this time last year, I applied for a grant that Twitch was doing called Twitch Passed Forward. And it was about their like 10-year anniversary as a platform, I think. And it was like, write us a pitch for something that would improve our community and like celebrate the things the community does. And some people made extensions and some people, and I wrote a pitch for this grant, a proposal around, I would like to make a free resource on charity streaming. But obviously that entails the time to write it, the time to get it edited, you know, reviewed and that kind of stuff. And I want to see if I can do this grant. And I actually won the grant. And then I published Charity Streaming 101 at the beginning of, was it this? I don't even know. Yeah, it was this year. I don't know. Time is
I remember though. I remember when you got the grant. That was so cool. And you're right. I do want to talk about it. Okay. You were talking about how I am not going to talk about it. And I was like, yeah, no, you are. So I want to know, because you have written Charity Streaming 101, which for anyone who is listening, as Libby was talking about earlier, it is a guide that helps streamers get started with charity streaming. What is one misconception that you wish you could dispel about charity streaming?
Ooh, I feel like there's a bunch of broader ones. I think that the misconception I want to address really is people think it's this super, super hard thing where if you're already streaming or if you've got the basics of a stream set up, you absolutely can do a charity stream. You might not have the giant $1 million raised production that others do, but there's this idea that like, I'm too small, it's too hard, it's not going to work out. And you hear all the time when streamers are asking their communities to donate to charity, like, oh, just a dollar helps if you have a dollar. And that is true. But I also want to make sure that applies to the creator, right? My current full-time role is I'm at an organization called Players vs. Cancer, which works with the American Association for Cancer Research. All the AACR does is fund grants for cancer research. So it's not a hospital. It's not, you know, buying toys for kids. It is just straight up changing the science, right? And making better science for cancer treatment. And we could have a group of community members and someone raises $10,000 and someone raises $1,000 and someone raises $500 and someone raises $50. Mm. And all of those people are valuable and have made impact because you're part of a broader group that is raising awareness. It is so easy in everything that is streaming world to look at numbers and compare yourself to people with different numbers. And it makes, I think it can scare people off of charity streaming because it's like, oh, I'll look really bad if I made a charity stream and I only raised $100. And it's like, yeah.
But if you have $100 that charity didn't have, 10 people that raise $100, that's $1,000. It adds up so fast. Yeah,
exactly. And I think people get scared because it looks like an added technical expense of your time and your resources on your stream. And while that can be true,
you can go.
It's another alert layer.
Yeah.
Like you. Oh, I love events when I go absolutely nuts for for charity. And like, I like that. It does divert your content almost entirely when you do stuff like that. Right. Like I had a day where I had googly eye stickers as like a charity incentive. And someone was like, if I drop, I forget what the number was, but like if I fill your bar, will you just cover your whole face in googly eyes? And I had to decide in that moment, like, is this lack of gaming content going to be worth it? And it was. It was so funny. It was like remember when Jenna Marbles made her face into a disco ball?
That's what I was just thinking. Googly eyes.
It was like, okay, I do have to make the decision. And if I were a creator who was more potentially like specific game focused, that might not have been the right call for me to like divert my content and sit there for 2 hours putting googly eyes on my face. But it's, you can have the thing where you go absolutely balls to the wall and your entire content is around charity, or you can just have like a little logo up and be like, hey guys, this week, all my, you know, my revenue or the stuff that you put into here is going to this charity. It's really important to me. You know, every dollar counts. Thanks so much. Like there's a whole spectrum of neither one of those is the right answer. And it doesn't have to be as hard as your brain makes it look to start streaming for charity.
And where can people find your Charity Streaming 101 guide? Because I think that's a really good starting point.
Yeah. So it is, I know that I have it at bit.ly/charity streaming 101, capital C, capital S. Camel case, as the marketers call it. It is pinned on my Twitter, which is Libby K. It's sort of, if you just search Askesi and charity streaming, it'll come up. It's on my Ko-fi page, but I made like a cutesy little link for it. So it's completely free. I obviously will not turn down someone passing a dollar or two on Ko-fi because that is lovely of them. And I have had folks do that, but it is completely free. It is intended to be completely free because I don't think that information should be gatekept at all. And anyone who does download it, anytime I update it, I email out new versions of it. So if I change something or I'm like, oh, this tip is outdated, everyone gets updated info. And like I said, I'm supposed to have done a bunch of YouTube videos about it too, but I haven't edited them yet. So we'll get there. we'll get there.
It'll happen eventually.
Someday.
Shady, do you have any other questions for Libby?
My favorite question is always to ask, what if we think about 15-year-old Libby, what do you think 15-year-old Libby needed to hear, would want to hear from you? What kind of advice would you give someone like 15-year-old Libby who was going to go into the fields that you were going to go in or had the interest to?
Oh, this is going to be sort of left field because I haven't talked about this a ton, but that it's okay not to follow everybody's expectations of what you're supposed to do. Like, I grew up doing robotics. I was the captain of the team. I was the mechanical lead. So I was like, I have to do mechanical engineering, but I don't know if I really want to do it. And I didn't really listen to myself. I was like, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. Right. And even when I was in college and didn't know that I was for sure about what I kind of had that nagging feeling of like, I don't know, this is for me. I waited. And I was like, but everyone's going to be so mad at me if I don't do what I was supposed to do. And it's like, you are the only person you have to live with for your whole life. I heard that on TikTok and I was like, damn, that actually hits.
Yeah.
Right. Like everyone in your life, whether it is a good thing or a bad thing, is at some point going to leave you in some way, right? As much as we want to think that our parents will live forever or, you know, the boyfriend that they meet is going to be there, the one, right? You're the only person you have to live with for your whole life. And
24/7,
365, and it's exhausting, but you have to listen to that person and
respect and care and love. Yeah.
You have to respect that person. You have to know that if you're not meeting somebody else's expectations, but you've met your own, it's really hard to be at peace with that. But I think 15-year-old Libby probably needed to learn that. I mean, 30-year-old Libby needs to learn that too. But I think that would be my 15-year-old advice is you do not have to live your life by somebody else's expectations. And doing the weird, cool, nerdy thing that people think isn't a real job is actually kind of the cornerstone of your career now. So good job, kiddo.
Aw,
I love that.
That's what my 15-year-old needs is a hug.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we all do.
Yeah. I think that's really good advice too, just in general for people that are in this, people that would be listening to Boss Level probably all need to hear, because it's so easy in the streamer space and the online space to fall into peer pressure and expectations of the people in our little cliques. We were calling them earlier with Twitter, robotics Twitter or whatever. It's so easy to feel like we have to be doing what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
Or if we step out of the box a little bit, we're going to get, we're not going to be as successful by doing it. And a lot of times it's the left turns, as you called it, that stand you out. I guess that's the scary thing. It's back to human animal psychology a little bit, but we're all part of a flock or a herd, and it's usually what's the squeaky wheel gets the grease, but it can also be the rusty nail gets the hammer. So we're scared to be that one little sheep that pops out of the herd. That one gets all the accolades if it's successful, but if it's not successful, they get eaten by a wolf. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it can feel really scary, but it's also often in fear where the most progress is made. So
yeah,
love that.
For sure.
And you're absolutely right. I feel especially with trying to seek out the new meta for streaming and whatever. And sometimes you do have to do something a little bit different to everybody else to actually make waves and do something that draws attention. It's tough out there. But I mean, I really like talking about stuff like this because I feel frequently we were talking about streamer Twitter and whatever. I don't really want to call it an echo chamber, but at the same time, I do feel if the shoe fits, I feel a lot of the time it's the same content being cycled over and over again. It's the same conversations. It's the same.
There's a 3-month cycle because there's new streamers coming in and then they think they're the first streamer, which I'm not it's the first time they've noticed XYZ is wrong in the industry or something. But
yeah,
someone who's been in it, for me, I started in 2016. I've seen this cycle happen a dozen times at this point. I'm fed up with it. I'm just I'm not, participating in this at this point. It's such an energy drain.
Out.
I'm just going to y'all have at it.
Yeah, have fun. Leave me 100%. On. Thank you very much. Oh, it's tough. So I would like to find out, Libby, do you have any other projects that you'd like to shout out? Anything that's coming up? Anything outside of like the charity streaming 101 that you were talking about? Like, what other things have you got coming up in the future that you'd like to share?
Well, if I ever get off my butt and finish those videos, there will be much more comprehensive information on that kind of stuff. I am trying to expand that as well into sort of my marketing and community background, like creating similar types of resources that are maybe for someone who is newer or trying to re-envision what they're doing. I don't have a release date on that yet because that's not done. from a
good work reason. Perspective,
yeah, like eventually. So what I can say is if you follow me on Twitter, Libby K, then you can find out when it's done. I guess the work thing I'd like to shout out, it is also charity related, is it's currently August of 2022 and coming up for Players vs. Cancer in September is an event that we have called End Cancer Disparities, which is all fundraisers working towards raising money for the American Association for Cancer Research, but specifically around this something that the AACR publishes called our Cancer Disparities Report. And it is basically a giant research-based call out on how cancer care and cancer outcomes are inequitable across different marginalized populations. And so the End Cancer Disparities event is looking to raise money for grants that fund minority scientists to help close those gaps, because cancer is not the same in every community or in every, you know, socioeconomic group or ethnic group or anything like that. And it's super important to make sure that everyone gets equitable care. And so I am running a streaming program for September where we're fundraising for the AACR. And if you want to do that, I can help. So that is another thing that I can be of assistance with if that is interesting to anyone who is listening.
Sweet.
Hooray.
Hooray.
That's really cool. Hooray. I do like having a nice positive thing to end on after the kind of meandering we've done through some of the toxic stuff.
This has been a great conversation, though. I've really enjoyed it.
Me too. And I've really enjoyed picking your brain.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I always say that, and I always feel really creepy when I say that.
give me the insides of your brain. No.
There you go. Libby made it worse. It's fine.
I can always make it worse. No, I have so enjoyed getting to be on this side of the conversations, and it has been a joy to spend some time with you too, because I love you both dearly as TK members, as hosts, as all the wonderful things that you do in your own spaces. I am so grateful for both of you and happy that you asked me to be here today.
We're glad that you could join us. I don't know, Psyche, you got anything you want to shout out?
I literally, the only thing is that I've just taken a 2-week break from all content creation outside of the podcast. So my return stream is on Monday, the 8th of August, which I'm pretty excited about. And on Friday, the 12th of August, some of you who have listened to previous episodes will remember that I mentioned doing a streaming and games industry Q&A, and I never did it because things got a bit much. So I'm doing that on Friday, the 12th of August, and that is on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Psyche.
That's exciting.
I'm excited. And what about you, Shady?
The only thing I got to shout out is I have been busting my butt and spending way too much time with myself editing this OBS tutorial that I'm working on. I'm calling it Hey Shady Lady Over Explains OBS. It has I made a blog post of it. It's the tiniest little scroll bar, and it's 3 hours of video content that it's scripted. Wow. So there's nothing really to edit out. So it's a 3-hour like deep dive into OBS and explaining all the technical jargon, the bit rate, why to use. I should hopefully have that finished editing by this week. So sometime in the second week of August, that should be up on my YouTube channel. So if anybody is just barely scraping by getting through their OBS stuff and wants someone to break it down in very digestible terms, then that's all I got to shout out, really, besides my normal streaming if I can, you know.
Sweet. Yeah. Fingers crossed the storms stay away.
I know. It's been really crazy this summer. We've had a lot more thunderstorms than normal. I love summer thunderstorms, though, but not when they take my internet away.
Yeah. When you need the internet. Yeah. So, Libby, thank you very much again for joining us. Where can people find you across the internet?
Yeah. So my Twitter is Libby K. I know the general best practice is all supposed to be the same, but Askesian is really hard to spell. On Twitch, I am Askesian, Askesienne. Or honestly, if you just search Libby, there is actually a channel who uses Libby. I thought about at one point rebranding, but it's not me, not for me. Online, I am Libby K on Twitter. I'm Askesian pretty much everywhere else. And yeah, that's my internet presence in a nutshell.
Awesome.
Sweet. And Shady, where can people find you?
Hey, Shady Lady, everywhere, all over the internet, up and down. That's easy.
I'm so jealous. This is why I'm talking about rebranding. So yeah, everyone can find me as twitch.tv/Psyche 4 days a week. And on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube is Psyche Plays and Psyche Twitch on TikTok. Because my name, even my secondary name got taken.
Oh no.
That's a bummer.
Well, thank you both. This conversation was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
It's been wonderful. Thank you. I hope you'll have a good rest of your week.
Yes.
You too. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Libby, again for joining us. Listeners, your side quest this week is to join us on our Discord channel where we can continue the conversation. You can also find us on social media as The Boss Level Pod. That's Boss LVL Pod. And catch up on video episodes on our YouTube. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.